Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, May 4th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing, at Yo-Yo Jr., and joining me is Greg Miller. I forgot to think of a nickname today.
Live long and prosper.
Live long and prosper. Happy May the 4th. May the 4th be with you, Greg.
May the 4th be with you. You know, where is the small Watto game? That was what we all hoped the announcement would be today. If you're going to talk about Star Wars games, where is the small Watto game, John Drake? Anthony Carboni, why aren't you doing work down there in LA?
Do you think they're in the first stages of developing it? Do you think it's just not ready yet to be shown to the world?
They can't be in the first stages because the first stages, of course, are pre-pro, right? Where you're sitting there, you're pitching ideas, you're making things. Me and Carboni pitched this perfectly to John Drake. Small Watto, how small can he be? Find out in the game. How big can he be? Find out in the game. The fact that it's not greenlit and already a game is upsetting.
Upsetting. Wow. How dare they? Greg, speaking of May the 4th, speaking of Star Wars, I have a question here from Nanobiologist, who writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames just like you can, and says, hey guys, today is May the 4th. So before y'all get started with the show or wrap up, I don't know, I'm not your producer. Can y'all reflect on your greatest Star Wars game memories? Did any specific game help you feel more attached to the universe? Any fond memories of playing a game with friends late into the night? I'll always love the Lego Star Wars games because those are what made me become a fan when they first came out while I was 11. Thanks, and may the 4th be with you all, the Nanobiologist. So we haven't gotten our small Watto game.
No.
But there are Star Wars games that I'm sure both of us have played in the past that we've fallen in love with.
Sure. I mean, for me, obviously, most recently was Jedi Fallen Order. I talk about that coming around, I think, at just the right time to make me really connect with Star Wars in a weird way that I hadn't before and really fall in love with it. You know, and it was timed around going to Galaxy's Edge and making my lightsaber and then playing that game and then platinuming that game and being so into it. I know we have news about that today. I'm excited to talk about that. Beyond that, I think back to Lego Star Wars. Yeah. I remember that first Lego Star Wars dropping Nano and playing that like crazy in Columbia. And it was when I was working at the paper, I'd come back and play that and, you know, try to platinum it when there wasn't a platinum, obviously, and just try to get all the red bricks and try to find all the secrets and do all that different stuff. And I'll always remember Lego Star Wars because if you ever hear my cancer story, I always talk about Tim Grant being this little boy who inspired me, and I was covering him while he had cancer. I remember on my day off playing Lego Star Wars and getting the phone call that he had passed away. So sad memory, but I'll always remember the game tied up in that. And then as well as that, Knights of the Old Republic, I think was the first Star Wars game for me, a non-Star Wars fan, that really spoke to me, obviously. Like sitting there and playing that and building your own character and building your own lightsaber and building your relationship with people like Joe Lee or whatever. That was just such a special game. And I really hope they make that again.
Mm. Yeah. For me, it's Star Wars Battlefront, like being that's like the most vivid memory I have of Star Wars growing up. I remember my next door neighbor, he was the one that had an Xbox. I had a PlayStation and a PS2. Yeah. And I remember going over to his house and he had like a demo for Battlefront 1. And, you know, I wasn't familiar with it at the time. And so we started playing. And, like, the demo only had, like, one level that you could play over and over again. But I remember being, like, every time we finished a match in that, I remember being, like, yo, let's go again. Like, this game's awesome. This game is incredible. It was, like, the game, Star Wars Battlefront was really, like, the series that didn't introduce me to shooters or, like, multiplayer shooters. Because that would probably have been, like, 007 on N64. But I think it really clicked with me in that way in terms of it being a multiplayer shooter. Like, a first person, even though it's, like, third person, you can switch back and forth. But in that, like, that type of shooter, right, like Star Wars Battlefront was the one that kind of introduced me to that. And then I ended up getting Battlefront 2 for PS2, and that's a game that I fell in love with. There was a mode in there that was like, I can't remember the name of it, but you can only play on what's the planet, like the desert planet with like the city on it. It was like the dun 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 dun, dun, dun.
Tatooine?
Is that Tatooine where it's like That's where like Obi-Wan and I think Luke went.
Right, Kevin? You're listening, Kevin. This is your Star Wars nerd.
Yeah, Kevin, you're a Star Wars nerd.
Yeah, it's Tatooine.
Yeah. On Tatooine, there's a mode that you can only play there that was like all heroes and villains. Like you can only play with like
the Force users. It was just lightsabers. Yeah, every once in a while, you'd get like a Jango fan and be like, this fucking sucks. Because everyone's jumping around going, ew, ew, ew.
Exactly. And that was actually some of my first experience playing a game online. Also was playing Star Wars Battlefront 2 in that level, like connecting my PS2 to the Ethernet so I could like access that. And so that's like a very much like a vivid memory for me in Star Wars. And then also I had another friend that had Star Wars Demolition on PS1, and I never really like got into Twisted Metal. as a kid, Star Wars Demolition was basically my Twisted Metal, nice. Where it was like a game that was like it was a Star Wars vehicle combat game. And so like you could pick all these different Star Wars vehicles. And then also for some reason, I'm pretty sure you could pick like Boba Fett or like somebody with a jetpack.
I'm sorry, what was his name?
What did I say? Jabba Fett?
You said Boba Fett.
What's his name?
Boba?
You
could probably tell me tomato. Fucking stupid anime facts, but you can't get Boba Fett right, huh? That's where we're going to be?
I am more of a Star Wars video game fan than I am a movie fan.
I mean, I don't care. They're already killing you right now for not knowing Tatooine. But like, I want you to know that like I wouldn't say I'm a Star Wars fan, right? Where I really, really, really dug it, right? I fucking knew how to say Boba, right? I knew he'd come up in things before. I'd heard about it. I just black out and
when I think of Boba, I think of like boba tea, you know? I don't think of
delicious.
I feel like Boba Fett is more of like a menacing name than Boba Fett.
No, Boba Fett sounds like your fucking neighbor Bob. He's gone crazy. Oh, it's my neighbor Boba. He's over there mowing the grass right now.
Boba Fett makes me think he's like posted up in the corner with a jetpack on, drinking out of like a plastic cup, drinking some of that boba tea. Today's stories include Star Wars, because we're talking about that Jedi Fallen Order update that's coming through. We're talking about EA Play getting a date, and we're also talking about Sony messing around with VR, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad free along with the exclusive daily post show. And now it's time for some housekeeping. Before I actually get into housekeeping, Kevin, I have a question for you. Which planet is Mos Eisley? Because that's the one that I had in my head when I was talking about
the same planet.
It's the same.
That is in Tatooine. That's like the big port city.
Okay, so when I was describing it, in my head, I was like, I think it's called Mos Eisley.
Mos Eisley is the city.
Is the city. Tatooine
what
is the planet.
What is the name of the country or state? I don't know. But the planet...
Oh, do you think they have states in Star Wars?
Yeah, wasn't it just planets? I feel like the planets.
It's just like planets
well,
and cities.
Well, I mean, like, this planet has states and countries. You know what I mean, guys?
Sure, but they're all like the... United
they're run
Federation
by the Hutts? You think the Hutts don't divide their spaces with countries? Come on.
That's territory. That's like No Man's Land in Batman. Like,
Land has like, here's Jokersville. It's a circus.
Jokersville. You
know? Yeah, it's true. No,
here's
that's
the freezer. That's where the penguin lives.
I don't know enough about Batman to know whether or not these are facts, but these sound
it's
like
broken up by territory. There's territories. I mean,
yeah,
there's
that's what I'm saying. But are they called
Jokerville and Freezer?
No, that,
not exactly.
That part was a lie. That was a lie. I'm going to go.
Gotcha. Now it's time for some housekeeping. The core stream that we've talked about in the past a bunch is finally happening. Remember how we were supposed to do a big reveal stream for the fine folks at Core, the game where you whip up your own multiplayer video games, publish them, and play with the world? Well, the pandemic got in our way, but we're back on track. Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific time, join Greg and Andy and the developers of Core as they make games and test them out with you. That's right. Go download Core, the Core Alpha, right now at coregames.com, and you can play whatever they create live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. So again, download Core at coregames.com. Come watch and play with us Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific time on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, and then follow at Core Games on Twitter for updates. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Mohammed Mohammed and Blackjack. Today, we're brought to you by Manscaped, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Rope Report. Time for some news. We have five stories today.
Baker's Dozen!
Starting with our number one. Happy Star Wars Day. Jedi Fallen Order is getting a new update. I'm pulling all the information that I'm about to read from EA.com.
Long overdue, everyone.
Very long overdue. They put out a big blog, a big old blog over on EA.com, and I've tried to pare it down a bit, but there's so much detail and there's so much new stuff in here that I'm gonna have to like sit here and read for a bit, because there's a lot. It's jam-packed. So I'm starting at the beginning of the blog. They write, and the name of the blog is Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order Free Content Update. Available now, we're releasing a free content update for Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Within it, you'll find new cosmetics for Cal and BD-1, new modes for the for those of you who become a Jedi, and some additional tweaks and fixes that should make things more enjoyable for all players. And they start off with meditation training. Meditation training is the biggest part of this update and is a new game mode hub that can be accessed from the meditation points found throughout the game. Further details on that below. In it, you'll be able to face off against all enemies, including bosses, in two different modes, combat challenges and the battle grid. Combat challenges will pit Cal against waves of enemies across multiple planetary backdrops from across the galaxy, including the Imperial Stronghold Fortress Inquisitorius. Each unique location will feature its own unique challenges, too, allowing for tailor-made experiences that draw from each environment. Different challenges will have different numbers of waves, and each will have a 3-star completion rating. What makes these challenges especially unique is that they've all been designed for veteran players. They're designed to be tackled when Cal is at his strongest and most experienced towards the end of the game. So be wary if you decide to take on the challenges early in a playthrough. The abilities Cal knows at the time of entering his meditation will be the ones you take into a challenge. There are 12 challenges in total, and each challenge has 3 stars. Unlocking 12 stars in total, regardless of how many you get per challenge, will give you 3 BD-1 appearances. So you get 1 star if you complete the challenge, 2 stars if you complete the challenge without healing, and then 3 stars if you complete the challenge without taking damage. The second mode in meditation training is called Battle Grid. This mode is a sandbox mode for players to create their own encounters. In it, players will be able to select a location, the size of the encounter they want to face, tinker with various difficulty modifiers, and set the overall combat difficulty to one of the 4 difficulty levels. There's a lot of room for creativity within this mode, and you'll also be able to save your grid creations to play later. As an added bonus, this mode will also feature unique enemies Cal saw during the dark visions of his past and the future. His fallen master, Jaro Tapel, as well as the dark side version of himself, Inquisitor Cal Kestis. They then go on to talk about New Journey Plus, which is basically New Game Woo! Plus, which they say a common request we got was for a way to replay the game while carrying some things over. The core experience of Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order revolves around Cal's growth and learning and relearning his abilities as he restores his connection to the Force and overcomes his traumas. For this mode, we think we've found a good balance between what to carry over while still allowing Cal to discover abilities on his journey. With this update also comes the New Journey Plus mode. This new feature gives those of you who've beaten the game a menu option to start from the beginning, gaining access to meditation training game modes exclusively available in New Journey Plus. You'll also keep all of their collectibles from a previous playthrough, while abilities will have to be relearned. This includes lightsaber parts, Kyber crystal colors, and other aesthetic items. And yes, that means you get to keep every poncho. Any chest you've opened in your previous playthrough will stay empty, meaning you won't need to check every chest or open empty ones by accident. Any chests you haven't opened, though, will remain in place for you and your best droid buddy to find. And then they go on to talk about accessibility and bug fixes and tweaks, which I pulled the too long, didn't read version, which go like this, right? For accessibility, they've added button mashing, quick time events can now be skipped. Needing to hold the climb button can now be disabled. Holding a button to confirm / interact with something can be changed to a button press. And then text size scaling options have now been added. And then for bug fixes and tweaks, improved transitions between parry and block animations. The bog rats on Bogano were sometimes floating. They should now be more grounded. Improve the transitions into and out of jumping and double jumping. Fix the issue where Cal could get stuck in an endless falling loop during air attacks. Let's see here. They fixed the issue that would prevent Cal from progressing his journey when a bounty hunter would show up. And then lastly, they improved all responsiveness of gameplay and the reliability of actions based on player feedback. Greg, there's a whole lot there, but how are you feeling about all of it?
I'll tell you what I feel. I feel it's a missed opportunity. Where are the new trophies and achievements? That's the question, Bless. All right, this is an update out today, so there's still a chance they could get pushed through. But nothing shown on ExoPhase, nothing shown on PSN profiles on the full list. Other than that, brilliant. Great. I feel like it's almost too late in a lot of ways, but then again, we are in a pandemic where you have all this free time and we're all playing older stuff again and going through it. I feel like if New Game Plus would have been there when I was playing through the game originally, I would have been right back into it. Now it's exciting, but I don't necessarily feel the pull to come back to it that way. I'd be more stoked for DLC. However, the fact that they are supporting it makes me still hopeful that they are hopefully doing something down the line, right? Maybe something, story two is coming up in a second. Maybe something around when you normally do E3, you can talk about an episodic structure, just a new mission for Cal, some new planet to go out and fuck up real good. It's good. It's all great. Yeah, what I like a lot about this is it's all stuff that was needed in the game, right? I think New Game Plus will help it have more legs. The meditation training stuff is cool. You know, the whole build your own challenges and shit, like, that's never been my gag, but I understand a lot of people do like it. I do like that there is this rating or reward system based on how you do it with BD1. Like, there's a lot of things there for you to go in and brag with and also get really, really good with your lightsaber if you weren't. But then even beyond that, right? Accessibility, the text size being a big deal. I know for a lot of people weren't coming in there, being able to skip the button mashing. And obviously, accessibility is such a you know, we talked about it recently on, well, a whole bunch of different shows. But when we had Steven on, We Have Cool Friends, talking to him about the amount of things people don't think are accessibility options, but really, like, or don't, the amount of things in a game that people don't think make a game inaccessible to people really do, right? Like, being able to tap a button furiously or whatever, being able to read the text and subtitles. If you're not in a camp that has those being barriers to entry, you don't think about it and you move on. So those additions are super great to have there. In general, it's just cool to have some Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order content again. It's cool to have an announcement. It's cool that it's immediately available, which I'm always such a fan of, you know what I mean, especially on May 4th, that they're able to come out there. I honestly hadn't even thought about it. I was looking at Twitter this morning, and Nick Verge over at Pop Agenda, I saw him on Twitter saying, like, he would kill if there was an announcement for new content, like a new episode or something for Fallen Order. And I hadn't even thought about that, this, you know, today's holiday being something that we could actually get something out of that game. And then for a couple hours later to actually have this drop, have it be New Game Plus, have it be that awesome Inquisitor outfit, have it be that you can go through with the red lightsabers. Like, I don't think even it's, you know, this is my game of the year last year, still a beloved game for me. It's not content for me right now that's making me think, oh, I got to download this and get back in. If they put in a trophy for a New Game Plus thing, I probably would think about it eventually. But it's awesome for people who want more content, who want to exist in this game world longer, maybe aren't like me that didn't platinum it and didn't go through and get every chest. So, you know, like, the ability to go through and pick up the chest you missed before is a cool idea. But, like, if I've already platinumed it, so I just have, that means every chest is just going to be empty for me. It's like, oh, okay. Well, not a real, you know, need for me to go back and play that, but it's awesome to see them supporting it. I love that game. I hope it gets in more people's hands.
Yeah, I agree. I think all this sounds awesome, right? I'm with you that the meditation training stuff, you know, sounds really cool. The in theory, like, the combat grid stuff, like being able to or the battle grid stuff, being able to create, like, your own battle scenarios, sounds super cool. I will probably never actually use it, right? Despite how cool it looks to do.
That kind of stuff that I think, you know, especially in a show like ours where we're doing this general, here's how the industry's overlooking, here are the biggest news, right? I think that's stuff that for most of our audience, like, oh, whatever. But then you have to, as somebody who still follows, like, the Fallen Order subreddit, right? Like, there is such a community that is just dying for any kind of content for this game. And so to give them something to go in and challenge each other on, give them a reason to turn it on, that's all awesome.
Yeah. New Journey Plus, I think, is probably, like, the biggest, you know, thing. That I mean, New Game Plus in any game is very much welcomed. But I'm kind of with you that this is too late. Like, I know when Jedi Fallen Order came out in November, it kind of felt like it needed a bit more time in the oven, right? Because it came out and it was pretty buggy. It was definitely complete, but, you know, it felt like it needed some time to really, like, polish out those rough edges. And for me, like, I imagine that, you know, maybe given more time in the oven, this update would have came a little bit more quicker off the heels of Jedi Fallen Order. And so, like, I'm with you that right now, this dropping doesn't necessarily make me want to pick the game back up. Or let me rephrase that, because it makes me want to pick the game back up, but I don't think in reality, like, I'm going to be compelled to, because there's other games I've already, like, I don't feel like relearning how to play Jedi Fallen Order because I beat that game in, like, a week. You know, it's one of those things where...
But that's also the thing about it, where New Game Plus is such a great addition, is that you would start from the beginning, right? It would be reteaching you. It wouldn't be like, oh, you're an expert, go ahead. It wouldn't be doing, like, what True. I talk about all the time with the Horizon Zero Dawn DLC. Where it's like, oh, sure, yeah, the game pays you no mind that you haven't picked it up in 6 months or whatever it was. Just drops you into this thing. I'm getting eaten by Thunderjaws. I don't know what the fuck's going on. Like, this would be an easier way to transition back into it. And again, yeah, looking over at the subreddit right now for Fallen Order, everybody's like celebrating. They're so happy, right? I mean,
yeah.
On the trailer here for the news, the first comment is, so it's basically everything we wanted added to the game. New game plus with cosmetics, arena combat challenge mode, and Inquisitor Cal outfit, question mark. Somebody responds, they basically said, here you go, now shut up and let us develop the sequel. To which somebody responds, mm-hmm. consider me silenced. Like, that's what you want out of these kind of announcements. Not that you're missing this, you nickel and dime us for that, blah, blah, blah. Like, this is them paying it forward to their audience that has stuck with them this long and has been this into this game.
Yeah. So, yeah, good for everybody who even, like, is still might be playing the game. Everybody
pray one more time for trophies. Just pray for new trophies.
Do you think we'll get that, like, a DLC, like, a new story? You know, because I imagine that's, like, what they would hold the trophies for, if anything.
Yeah, but you can put trophies in multiple things, Bless. All right, pigeonhole ourselves on what trophies can go. I hope so. Especially, you know, we were talking on, Gamescast recently about the idea that we don't know what EA's got, right? Like, that right now they are kind of, you know, the annualized stuff, if they're still doing the annual sports games in a time when there are no sports. I feel like that's an easy win because you figure whatever they're going to call it, Star Wars Jedi blank 2, even if it is Fallen Order 2, is still so many years out, right? Like, if you wanted something to pop, it would be easy to do that and not use it as a patchwork, right? But give something on the way there. That would be exciting. I think people love that game enough. And I think if you could time it out to release in the holiday window, then you could, of course, repackage it, right, as Game of the Year edition with all this stuff included on the disc, with this included, probably some new ponchos, some exclusive stuff there that could help you as EA at the end of the year do it. Although it's backwards compatible, I guess you could put out the version of that is Xbox Series X and PlayStation 5 bells and whistles and 4K and everything up, right? That would be the Game of the Year edition that it maybe is exclusive to them, so we don't have to get the smart delivery again, and could come through and run that way with the DLC included. Or you just put out the DLC then and have people be stoked about it. But I think it's a 50-50 where it is either, yes, we've been working on this patch and these updates and New Game Plus and all that jazz, plus we've also been working on this thing, we're excited to show it to you and release it this fall, or no, we're already so far, we're working really hard on number two. We're working on the sequel here, and so we haven't had time to think about it. Because it is, for as much as I love Fallen Order, like, and granted, I'm not a writer for a reason, and I just talk about other people's stuff and say if I like it or don't like it. The game is really well done as a story. Like, how you'd insert DLC into that and not have it be the problem of, it's a new planet and you go to it and you're like, oh, this planet kind of sucks. Like, it has a quarter of the content of the other planets, right? Or, okay, it's not a new planet, it's a new side mission you could have done here. And it's like, okay, am I doubling back? And how does this fit into the story otherwise? And does it feel bloated if you're playing it the other way? If I'm at the end and I have all my abilities, does it feel too easy? Like, it's a science, right? It's like baking over there. You need to have the exact measurements in terms of this to make this amazing cake at the end. And so to go in there and throw it all off, that's always a downside that you could have. But if it's just a standalone and they're very clear, we're giving you a 2-hour long story, it's, you know, happening independent of this, it's its own menu option, you go and do it, great. But again, does it feel like I'm getting something because you wanted just to give me something? Was this always the plan? Is this because it did well, you rushed this out and it doesn't play? It's so many different things. I still hope they do, because I do want another reason to go back. And I know they've just given me some today, but I want a story reason to go back. I want to go back. And even then, if they were to do that and I knew I was going to have another 2 hours of it, I probably would go and do a New Game Plus playthrough just to get my Cal Inquisitor outfit and red sabers and be able to rush out and kill everything that way.
Yeah, I mean, part of me thinks that a Left Behind-ish, you know, sort of deal where it is like some kind of side story that they release maybe later in the year and then bundle it up for next gen as like one package, yeah, you know, could be a slam dunk. But at the same time, right, we're talking about Respawn and like Respawn has just a lot of projects that, right, that they like to juggle, right? They got Apex Legends that they're working on, and that is kind of their game for that.
It's working on their studio now.
Yeah, like, and that's their game that they return to and make that everlasting content for.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That content that you kind of, you know, add as you're making the game go. I wonder if that for them is that, and then Jedi Fallen Order is something where they're like, all right, this is one and done. We're moving on to number two because number two has to be out in like 2 to 3 years.
I'm talking out of turn, of course, and don't understand fully, but the Left Behind comparison, right? Like, I feel like with as many hoops as you have to jump through, I imagine, to make a Star Wars Disney EA game, that, yeah, you wouldn't, those battles you'd be fighting for the sequel and not fighting for an 2-hour long piece of content, especially because as much as Cal's story is narrative based, it is also environmental based, right? So it's a different thing of how do you, what's the beginning, middle, and end of that story and those cutscenes you're dropping in there, and what, you know what I mean? Like, even like in Fallen Order, where we were going through and unlocking BD's memories and getting his old master talking to him, right? Like, while not maybe the thing you think back about the being the anchor point of the story, it was core to what was happening. So how do you do a side mission, a side quest, and not have it feel like it's just I honestly feel like they've done so well. I think this this new game plus package here takes care of so many things people wanted from it, that it almost is, as much as I want more of that game, I think they should just walk away, because I think it's great how it is now. It's as good as it can be right now. If you, I feel like you actually do more damage by doing this, and then the IGN reviews like, oh, it's a 7, it was 45 minutes of content, and I went through it pretty easily, and blah, 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 and like the enemy's AI wasn't as good as I wanted to be. I just blew people off ledges or whatever.
Yeah. Greg, keeping on this EA train, story number 2, EA Play is happening June 11th. I'm pulling this from Joe Scrubbles at IGN, who writes, EA has announced that it will broadcast a digital-only version of its yearly EA Play showcase on June 11th. Beginning at 4 p.m. Pacific time, EA says the show will showcase, quote, games through a live broadcast, community content, and more, end quote. The company hasn't specified any games coming in the showcase, but we can likely expect first looks at its annual sports franchises such as Madden and FIFA, and we may get a glimpse at the next-gen Battlefield game coming in 2021. There's also the small matter of Project Maverick, the mystery Star Wars game that seemingly leaked in March that I totally forgot about. EA Play is just one of the events in the IGN Summer of Gaming calendar, which will include broadcast announcements and news from the likes of CD Projekt Red, Sega, Square Enix, and many more. Greg,
yeah,
EA Play is happening.
That's right.
What do we expect from it at this point?
Well, I'm pissed. That's what I expect. I'm already pissed because I was hoping there wouldn't be an EA Play this year, and I would get to say that I killed EA Play by hosting it last year. But here it is, fucking back again. So, blah. I don't know, right? This is interesting. I'm glad to see people are starting to show their cards, bless. Obviously, you know, Jeff Keighley with his giant announcement last week to end the week in terms of how he's working with this in phase one of the Keighleyverse or whatever, on top of IGN doing Summer of Gaming, right? On top of GameSpot doing a bunch of different stuff.
I want to talk about that because on Jeff Keighley's Twitter, right, when he was tweeting out the Summer Game Fest stuff, one of his tweets was like the phase one tweet that had all the logos from the different companies that were involved. EA is one of those companies, right? EA has their logo in that phase one tweet. EA is also participating in IGN's Summer of Gaming, you know, as is mentioned in this IGN article. What do you think is like what happening there in terms of how those things get arranged and
see, here's like, my thing is that you say EA is also participating in this IGN thing. It's not even that. EA Play is participating in this. EA Play is just one of the events in the IGN Summer of Gaming calendar, including broadcast announcements, blah, blah, blah. So I feel like Summer of Gaming for IGN, and let's leave Jeff's thing out of it for 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
Summer of Gaming for IGN is just their, I guess, giant paintbrush encompassing everything that's going to happen during the summer that will kind of make up E3, since E3 is no longer going to be this condensed, crammed together, here's this 1 week of content and it's spread out. I would imagine that they're going to include everything in here. I bet, like, when we do hear about the PlayStation 5 reveal event, when we do hear about the Ubisoft press conference and what those actual times, or, you know what I mean, showcase time is going to be, I think that's all going to be roped into IGN's Summer of Gaming in a very specific way of the way IGN did E3, where it was just them. And the same way we're going to be live reacting to EA Play, the same way we'll be live reacting to Ubisoft, it'll be like that on IGN's side with pre and post show and all that jazz, just the same way we would do it. And a million other people are going to do it. What up, Easy Allies? I feel like that gives us more clarity on what IGN Summer of Gaming is. Because when they announced it, it was this idea of like, wait, are you doing it's going to be 5 days, you know, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. of us interviewing people and doing streams and what. And I think there's definitely going to be days of that where they have developers come by and show stuff. I bet from EA Play, like once stuff's announced, they're going to have, if you want to see more of Project Maverick, you know, they're coming by on Thursday at this time to do this. And it'll be more of a tempered thing like that. So this is an interesting one of giving us a glimpse of how IGN's framing their content. Then to go over to Summer Game Fest, right? You talked about it yourself. I have it all the way over here on this far side of this wide monitor. Let me bring it closer. That EA is here on Phase 1's lineup alongside 2K, Activision, Bandai, Bethesda, Blizzard, Bungie, CD Projekt Red. That one's too small. EA, PlayStation, Private Division, Riot Games, Square Enix, Steam, WB, and Xbox. Again, this is May through August. It seems almost like Keighley's deal is a broad stroke like IGN's deal. And so on twitch.tv/summergamefest, which I assume is a thing, are they going to be just co-streaming EA Play as well and doing a pre and post show to that? You know what I mean?
That's, yeah, that's like the big thing I'm curious about, because I imagine from the side of IGN and GameSpot, right? Like, I understand that as it's going to be coverage, right? Like, they have IGN is a site for coverage of video games. Same for GameSpot, right? Like, you imagine that there will be developer interviews and all these things, right? Live reactions, all these things that will play into IGN Summer of Gaming and GameSpot's Play. I can't remember exactly what it's called thing. But for Summer Game Fest, right? Like, the way Jeff Keighley kind of pitched it on Friday was as like a gaming calendar.
What's the GameSpot thing called? GameSpot Play for All. GameSpot Play for
Play for All. Like, I always want to say Play at Home, and I'm like, that's not what it is.
It's now Lucy's coming to give us the pitch. Hold on.
Oh, yeah.
Lucy, how she feels about Jeff Keighley. You can see her on We Have Cool Friends Thursday.
Yeah. Wait, what do you want to know?
Lucy, how's it going, first of all?
Hi, blessing. How you doing? Don't play Overwatch.
I'm doing good. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm done playing Overwatch. We're talking about Keighley's Summer Game Fest and IGN Summer of Gaming and GameSpot's Play. What's it called again? Cool. Play for All.
Ours is basically encompassing all of the like the normal E3 coverage. So we'll be doing the pre and post show for press conferences. Mm-hmm. We'll be doing like interviews with developers, hands-on new gameplay, all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, we're raising money for COVID relief. So we're going to have, the way our schedule is sort of looking is that we'll be doing charity streams every day, Monday to Friday, with industry guests, developers, streamers, YouTubers, friends. I'm kind of helping out with that stuff. So, I mean, I've already asked Greg. Greg's going to take part. And that whole part is raising money for charity. So it's a mm-hmm. way that we get to like explore how much we love games and, you know, show gaming as a force for good.
So gotcha. So
new games and raising money for charity.
It's mainly what is taking the place of like E3 coverage for GameSpot, as I understand it.
For at least 6 weeks.
Awesome. It's 6 weeks long.
Well, because we're just putting it out there, like, because it looks like the summer is going to be, we don't know how long the summer we don't know when all the events are going to be. We don't know if people are going to stick it to June. And then you're pretty much going straight into Gamescom in August, right? So for now, we're looking at like six-ish weeks.
Gotcha. Sweet. Awesome. Perfect. Thank you so much, Lucy. What's Greg doing back there? Did he just like go and make himself a sandwich? Yeah. Oh, he's making himself a coffee.
Oh, I have to keep it going.
All right. Well, let's talk about EA. Did you see the EA Play announcement this morning?
So I saw the announcement, and that's coming when? June 11th?
June 11th, yes.
And all the cool announcements like Vader coming to PS4 and new stuff for Jedi Fallen Order. That's cool. Give me some Mass Effect, though. Oh, no.
How you celebrating that Star Wars Day?
I'm going to finish Final Fantasy VII.
All right, perfect.
And play Overwatch with you, maybe.
Sounds good.
All right, see you in a bit, mate.
Let's get it.
Bye.
See ya.
Thank you. All right, now I have Jeff Keighley in my bathroom to come out and explain what it is.
Oh, wow. But yeah, like, it seems like the Summer Game Fest is more so like a Google Calendar sort of thing, which I wonder.
I feel like Summer Game Fest is going to be the manifestation of what he did at the Coliseum, where it will be, I'm sure, on their channel, they'll host or whatever. You know how this is, E3, like, oh, we're EA, we're Ubisoft, we're PlayStation. If you're a major Twitch streaming site or you're a major site and Jeff falls in that category, he'll do his own pre and post show for it. He'll do his own stream for it. And then afterwards, yeah, he'll have pre-canned interviews with the developers, pre-canned demos and stuff like that, right? It's a weird mix of what are the hours, right? You knew what the hours of E3 are. What are the hours of IGN, GameSpot, now Summer Game Fest, you know?
Yeah. So, interesting. I guess that makes sense. Greg,
makes sense.
Greg, are you ready for story number three?
I'm born ready for story number three.
Let's get into story number three, because this one is interesting. Sony's VR team is researching a new Valve Index style controller. I'm pulling this from Matt Perslow at IGN, who writes, Sony has published a new research paper discussing the development of a new controller that detects individual finger movements. A video uploaded alongside it demonstrates it being used for used with a VR headset, suggesting that Sony is working on a new Valve Index-like controller for a potential PSVR 2 hardware. The paper, written by Sony Interactive Entertainment's R&D engineers Kazuyuki Arimatsu and Hideki Mori, deals with the evolution of machine learning techniques in regards to hand pose estimation. Essentially, it discusses how machine learning in combination with a proximity sensor-equipped controller can estimate the position of fingers and then replicate that within a virtual environment. This follows on from a patent published earlier this year showing a controller equipped with finger-sensing technology. The video demonstrates the controllers, which here look very much like prototypes or at least non-consumer devices, and the virtual representation of hands when different movements are made. The controller's proximity sensors are able to detect when each finger is touching or lifted away from the device, and software is able to fill in the blanks and animate gestures, allowing for motions such as rotating your thumb. No external cameras are used to observe the user's hands, which is a solution used by Oculus for the Quest headsets controller free interface. The paper does not specifically mention PS5 or PSVR 2, and Sony has made no suggestion that the PS5 will launch with a new VR headset. However, this research into machine learning and new controller suggests that Sony is looking into advancing its VR technology. Perhaps this will evolve into PSVR 2, but it seems sensible to not expect anything soon. Greg, did you see the video of this?
I was looking through it while you were talking.
Because it looks cool, right? It works similarly to how, you know, the Valve headset Index. Like has finger tracking.
Have you used Valve Index?
I'm not. No.
That was very impressive when I did the review for Half-Life Alyx. Because I of course knew that from reading it, but obviously I read that forever ago about the hand tracking. And I had never done a demo of it or finger tracking, and so when I put it on and immediately started, I went up like this, and I was like, oh man, the fingers are broken. Because they were all like this, and then I moved mine, and they moved. And I was like, "What the? Oh, right, fuck!" And it was like a long time of this, that, and the other, moving them around, and like being in this game world and not having to press a button. You know what I mean? To reach for something and grab it, and actually grab it in the game. Like that's what I talk about in the review with Danny. Where in the beginning they start teaching all these different things, and it's awkward. You're learning. You know, as I've always talked about, you know, you have to get VR legs, and then you know, the more you play VR, the better it feels and the more natural it feels. And then to have this new layer of it where I was grasping at stuff and since I'm just grabbing, there doesn't have to be that tactile motion of hitting a button to grab. So you had to get used to where the pressure sensitivity was and how not awkward that was, but how that obviously took time to, you know, go from walking to running and then jump to the end of that game where it was that I'm using the telekinesis to grab resin, catch it midair, drop it in here, eject out magazines, pull magazines back, slam them in, lock one in the chamber, all with your fingers. I was like, this is fucking dope. Mm-hmm.
So do you think this then means anything for PSVR 2? Because we've talked about it on shows, right?
Yeah.
That the future for PSVR seems interesting in a way where PSVR comes out for PS4, and it does well, like all things considered. I think there are shortages towards the beginning, but like all things considered, right, for what you'd expect from that hardware, like it's doing fine, especially within the realm of VR and how VR sells. Like PSVR has been at least relatively successful.
It has been a success for PlayStation. They've said that.
Yes.
It's been successful for them. I mean, you know.
But when you look at the larger scope of it, it's like, all right, like what does the future of PSVR hold? Especially like as the world is changing, especially as like PS5 is gearing up and Sony has probably a bigger vision for the future than what might include PSVR. We've been, at least you for the most part, I'll say, have been skeptical about what the future of PSVR is.
Yep.
Does this do anything for that?
No, because it's in the same wheelhouse of everything I've been saying. If you've missed the, you know, Gamescast predictions, what do we think for next gen kind of thing? One of the ones I made as a prediction, and I said it broke my heart because it did. I love PlayStation VR. I love my Quest. Just used it today again for Supernatural VR. I can see there not being a PlayStation VR 2. And what we've been talking, I think we talked about it on the most recent Gamescast where it was, you know, updating our predictions in the world of the pandemic or whatever, where I still think that. You know, everything that's happening right now still backs up what I thought about PlayStation VR 2 and the fact that it might not happen is the idea that Sony internally, Dr. Richard Marks, as always, who is, you know, the number one R&D guy out there doing all the stuff with PlayStation Move and PlayStation VR and all this different stuff, they have the best intentions of making a PlayStation VR 2. I think PlayStation VR 2 is very much happening right now in terms of it's being worked on, it's being prototyped, it's being developed. These controllers probably are a part of that in terms of, can you get the price point down? Does this make sense? Can we make it work? You know, back to, you know, the DualSense, right? That controller where rather than have the light bar in the back, the light bar is on the top coming around, which is then, you know, talked about the array of cameras in the headset for PlayStation VR 2, similar to an Oculus Quest. So rather than the camera filming you, you're filming down. And so you'd be looking down at the controller, seeing it from a different angle. It would be the same thing here of having these things and, you know, trying to, there's been this argument, as I've said, after using Oculus Quest and really seeing Oculus Quest be that next step, the, you know, that next lightning bolt come to Jesus moment for VR and the ease and accessibility of it. You know what I mean? I am still impressed every morning when I put it on for Supernatural that I pop it on, I turn it on, I can still see the room until I confirm my guardian boundaries, and then boom, then I'm into the VR world. And it's just two controllers and it's just a headset. That's it. Mm-hmm. No, you know, the speakers are in the sound bar that are on my head. I don't need headphones. Like, I'm still in the room with Jen and Porty. When Porty gets out of his bed and starts clacking around with his nails, I know not to step on him. Like, I still think that that is the crazy, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening VR stuff. Whereas PlayStation VR currently is still the tethered experience. You turn your body a certain way, can't see the PlayStation Move wand anymore. Like, I've been shocked by how fast the PlayStation VR has felt out of date. And so to look to a PSVR 2 and what they would need to do there, the argument always comes down when I start talking about it is I want it to be wireless. People tell me it can't be wireless because it wouldn't have the you know, HD specs and all the jazz you would expect to have if it's not being able to pull from the this, and how do you do that? And so it's even if it is just one wire now, it's got to be the lightest wire possible. And so if you mm-hmm. get the cameras in there, if you get the handles in here and do all these different things, this is getting off track from your question. I apologize. I think that for PlayStation VR 2 to really happen the way it needs to happen, it would be such an investment. It would be such a commitment from PlayStation that I think they're going to have cold feet by the time they get there. I think by the time you get to where you have to do a make or break decision on, are we publishing a PlayStation VR 2? You look around at the landscape and it's going to be, all right, cool. How has the PlayStation 5 sold? How has demand been? What have we seen in PlayStation VR titles and selling so far? And, you know, we've talked about it before on PS I Love You about Iron Man VR. All right, cool. That, you know, was going to be a PlayStation VR seller. But now that it's been delayed indefinitely still, while, of course, Last of Us is no longer delayed indefinitely, if it pushes further back, because now you want to keep it out of Last of Us way, you figure you want to keep it, you want to keep it out of the way of Ghost of Tsushima. The further back it gets, the closer it gets to PlayStation 5. The closer it gets to PlayStation 5, the fewer systems that sells, because it does become, I'm going to buy a big old PlayStation 5 here in a couple months. Do I want to spend, you know, a couple $100 right now on PlayStation VR on a game? Well, it's backwards compatible. Yeah, but am I really going to use it? What if I want to buy more launch games? What if I want to buy more controllers? I'll wait till PlayStation 5. I think that gets in, becomes a stumbling block to more PlayStation VR selling. I think the fact that more PlayStation VRs aren't selling becomes a chilling effect on Sony, thinking if they really want to make a PlayStation VR 2, then how is the PlayStation 5 selling coming out of this pandemic? And do people have the disposable income? Is unemployment still crazy in the United States? Like, there's so many things wrapped up in this that I think you're going to get to 2021, which would have been the year to, at least in terms of development and what you're doing with it, pedal to the metal on PlayStation VR. But if there isn't this need, if there isn't this desire, are you doing it? Let alone the fact of who's making these games. Like, PlayStation, obviously, with this partnership with Marvel Games and Camouflage is great, is fucking phenomenal for Iron Man VR. And I can't wait to play that. I really loved it from the demo I played. But right now, and everybody, and you're wrong, correct me if you have a lot more, what are the other ones that Sony's really bullish and behind, right? And I'm not saying that that means they're gone and they're not supporting it at all, but, you know, when I did that Gamescom thing last year, and it was Iron Man VR, and it was No Man's Sky, and it was Everybody's Golf, and it was, you know, what it was, another one, there was a couple other ones there. There was like, oh, hey, there's a bunch of stuff here, but it wasn't coming from their first parties, really, right? I guess Japan Studio. And so here we are, you know, almost a year later, where you would need another dip on that. But if you're not gonna, it's such chicken and the egg thing of like, if there aren't more cool games for it, are more people gonna buy it? And are we gonna make more games for it if people aren't buying it? And so, you know, they've come out and said PlayStation VR is or PlayStation 5 is backwards compatible with PlayStation VR. You can use it there, but I don't know what their barrier to success is, what their a barometer for success is, I should say, I apologize, to making a PlayStation VR 2. And I mean, really committing to it. I bet Portillo on it right now that they are working on a PlayStation VR 2 internally. They are bullish about it. They are coming up with ideas, but do people believe in it enough to risk it? Are we in a much different place with VR than we were when PlayStation VR originally came out, when it was the cheapest on the market and it gave you a great experience and there was, you know, a Batman game and there was a Star Wars game and there was cool things to do with it? Like, when everybody was kind of bullish about VR, right? Where it did seem like, you remember this, when people were buying up these companies and being like, VR is the next big thing. And then it wasn't. And people really backed off it kind of quick. And Oculus is still, there's still a lot of great developers doing great things with it, but are there enough that PlayStation really wants to commit to taking that on probably the loss line or whatever of their spreadsheet? I don't think so. This is Greg on a soapbox.
What do you, coming back to the original story then, what do you think this research is for? Do you think this is like them gearing up for PSVR 2? Or yes. Do you think this is just them messing around?
I think it's the normal thing where I think PlayStation patents all sorts of stuff and researches all sorts of stuff. And again, does this stuff because they've been assigned, I guess, but like that it is a company initiative where it is, let's figure this out. Let's do this. This is really cool. Can we do this? How would this work? How would that go? And you go out and you make this stuff and you do this stuff with hopes that it's going to make it one day to underneath the Christmas tree for everybody else, but knowing that that isn't necessarily how the business works.
Craig, we have breaking news. Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
The Last of Us Part 2 has gone gold. Neil Druckmann came out on Twitter, put out a heartfelt video as I'm looking at here. In fact, Kevin, are you able to play videos with sound? I know that's usually a thing we have to prep before the show.
Yeah, I mean, I can do it. I just have to move stuff around. So if you give me a second, you know, fill everybody, time.
He's moving stuff around. He's Kevin. He's big Kev dog.
Move stuff around. Give me 1 second, Zero Force.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks like there? It's on Instagram. Yeah. The link is on the dock. It's the link on the dock.
Does that? It's a
push square link, and then in the link there's another. There's basically an embedded video from
just
Instagram.
Put that link in there. You know what I mean?
I know. Grab it. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Give me a second.
Deal thing. Whoa. As you're doing your thing, I'm pulling the story from Push Square from Stephen Talaby, who writes, development on The Last of Us Part 2 is complete. The sequel to one of PlayStation's most highly regarded games has gone gold ahead of its 19th of June release date. Neil Druckmann, director of the upcoming survival action title, confirmed as much in a video message shared on the developer's Instagram page. It has the quote message here, but I think we're just going to watch it if we're able to. You got it ready, Kevin?
Yeah, we're all set. You want me to hit play?
Yeah. You press that play button.
Hit it.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. As I'm sure you've heard by now, The Last of Us Part 2 has a release date of June 19th, 2020. But that's not what this video is about. We wanted to let you know that we have gone gold. So back in April, we told you that, you know, due to the state of the world, logistics way beyond our control, we had to push the game, which gave us a few extra weeks to polish. And now that we have a release date, we've submitted our gold master. So that means discs are starting to get pressed and the executable is being put on the PlayStation network. And you're going to have our game in just a few short weeks. And normally this would be a moment of celebration. You know, we'd be at the office having a drink, eating cake. But we're all stuck in our homes. And I just want to take this moment to congratulate the team that has pulled off the most ambitious game we've ever made. And I know I've said this before, but you won't know to what degree until you get your hands on it and just see the care that has gone into every detail, from the level designs, the mechanics, just graphically how the game looks, environments, art direction, characters, story, the audio design, the soundtrack. Oh my God, the soundtrack is so amazing that even for us who have played this game, we can't even count how many times. We know it inside out. We're still emotionally moved. I've just finished a playthrough and I was crying by the end of it. And it's just pretty incredible. And I'm extremely proud of it. The team is extremely proud of it. And we can't wait to hear what you guys think once you finally play it. And I just want to take this moment to congratulate the team that has pulled off And I will just want to say on behalf of everyone at Naughty Dog, we want to say thank you to you guys. You know, you've been very patient waiting for this game for years with us, and you're just a few weeks away from getting it. And a lot of you have sent us very sweet, encouraging messages along that time that have been really helpful as we make this thing. And the last thing I will say is, no matter what you've seen or heard or read, nothing compares to playing this thing from beginning to end. It's a video game. You got to play it. And other than that, I'll just say I hope you guys are doing well. Stay safe. Take care of your loved ones. And we'll have a lot more for you real soon.
Awesome, man.
All right.
Yeah, good stuff. Greg, we're both obviously very excited for The Last of Us Part 2.
Can't wait.
Right? Yeah, can't wait for it. Congratulations.
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, just like congratulations to Naughty Dog.
Oh yeah, big time congratulations on getting there. I mean, what a journey this has been for them, right? Let alone the last week of this journey here, trying to sour it or whatever. But I mean, actually getting it done, actually getting out there. Like, I think Neil hits it on the head, right? Of like, what a emotional roller coaster it's been through the delays, the indefinite delay. Then, all right, cool, we're in quarantine, but we're gonna work from home and get it done. All right, it's done. Okay, it leaked. Now we're like, geez, man. Like, these guys deserve all the, you know, applause they can get right now for actually crossing the finish line and getting it done. I can't wait to play it.
Yeah. Greg, story number 5, as we go through this now jam-packed Roper Report. The Japanese entertainment rating organization Ciro is resuming operations. I'm pulling this from Kazuma Hashimoto at Silicon Era, who writes, the Japanese entertainment rating organization Ciro will resume operations on May 7th, 2020. Due to the ongoing pandemic, Ciro had been temporarily closed in response to the Japanese government's state of emergency. However, operations will be resuming in the very near future, and the organization mentioned that it will enforce improved health measures for staff. This is what Ciro had to say about the temporary closure. Quote, the organization had temporarily been closed due to the government's declaration of a state of emergency regarding COVID-19 and at the request of the governor of Tokyo to refrain from going outside. Business will resume on May 7th. We apologize for any concerns or worries, end quote. Additionally, Ciro mentioned that it will continue, or it is currently planning to introduce telework or a system to work remotely for its employees. On top of this, it will also be going to avoid working at peak times for employees that will need to come into the office. Ciro, or the Consumer Entertainment Suppliers Association's Computer Entertainment Rating Organization, had announced the suspension of operations on April 7, 2020. The office as a whole has been closed during this period of time. This nonprofit organization is essentially the Japanese equivalent to the ESRB. This has meant that assigning the ratings of upcoming releases has not been possible due to the temporary closure of the office, and could have resulted in game delays. This is something we talked about, I guess, in April, earlier, about how they closed and, you know, we talked about all the different cogs in the machine of how games are made and come out. And with the whole pandemic situation, you know, like one cog, you know, getting messed up, right? This Ciro being closed down could have effects on games coming out in the near future and in the far future also. And so, you know, it looks like they're getting back to business, which I guess is good news. I'm not too sure about what the state of the pandemic is in Tokyo to know, like, whether or not, like,
it's under control.
It's under control or not. And so I'm assuming this is good news. I'm assuming that they're not opening as things are still dire.
Fuck it, let's go. People need their rating.
And so, good stuff.
Yeah.
And then our last story, story number 6, Evo is canceled and is moving to an online event. This comes from Evo's Twitter. They tweeted out a message from our team. Due to COVID-19, we are sadly canceling Evo 2020 at Mandalay Bay and refunding all purchased tickets. But to keep the spirit of Evo alive, we're bringing the event online this summer. More information coming soon. The health and well-being of our community is our highest priority. We hope everyone stays safe during this time, the Evo team. And so this is an interesting one. Because it's not interesting in terms of, you know, a bunch of different gaming events have been getting canceled, as we reported on the show, especially events that were scheduled for like August-ish. What makes this interesting is that they're moving online for a fighting game tournament. And if you play fighting games, you know that online play isn't necessarily ideal. And so I think the question here is, like, how are they, like, how is this going to go? Is this going to make more fighting games have to improve their netcode and really account for people playing online in a professional setting? I'm curious on how this goes. I'm going to be there watching, because I think this, at the very least, you know, it's gonna be a fun watch to see, like, people.
It's something you have
try
to see.
Adapt. Yeah, exactly. Greg, have you ever, like, followed Evo or, like, watched anything Evo related?
I've talked about it here. I'm, you know, I kind of treat Evo like I treat UFC, where when I see the Twitter flipping out about something, I'll go find the 10-second video of them why they're flipping out. I'm like, oh, that's cool. But I don't have, like, I have no skill, obviously, in fighting games, but I do, you know, obviously commend the skills of everybody who's great at them or whatever. It's just not my bag to watch them. But when there's, like, a good, you know, drama of, like, some 9-year-old girl beating the world champ, like, that one time, or when there was that one guy who blocked a million things and everyone's like,
oh yeah, Street Fighter. I
in the face with a crab too. I think I watched that.
Oh yeah, that I don't think that was
Hungry Box got hit in the head with a crab.
Yeah, I know exactly.
It's not funny, but it was funny at the time.
What was that, Kevin?
It's him laughing. He's laughing at.
Oh, he was laughing. I was hoping to go to Evo for the first time this year. I've never been to Evo, but I've watched certain Evo events in the past. Like, I won't, like, watch the full stream because I don't care about every single fighting game. But for the games I care about, I'll tune in for. And so, like, last year, I watched the Tekken tournament, which was fantastic. And then I also watched some of the Smash one. But yeah, it's always a joy to watch. Like, even if you have, like, a casual enjoyment of fighting games, like, they do a great job of breaking down exactly, like, what's going on. And I think fighting games are just easy to follow in terms of what's happening. And so, yeah, that's Evo. Greg,
that's Evo.
I'm very excited to see how they tackle doing an online Evo this year.
Me too.
But that event is so far away. If I want to know what's coming out to Mom and Grop shops today, where would I look?
You'd look at the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Before I get to out today, I want to tell you about our sponsor. Of course, you can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Manscaped. Flowers are blooming, the grass is growing, and it's time to mow your lawn. Thanks to our sponsor, Manscaped, you can trim the hedges below the belt safely and efficiently. I am talking about ball trimmers. Manscaped is here to make sure your balls are smooth and smelling nice. After all, it's time for some spring cleaning. Of course, if you watch the show, you know that I love to use Manscaped. I'll tell you one thing, right? It keeps me smooth as eggs, Greg. Smooth eggs. Manscaped is the only men's brand dedicated to below-the-waist grooming. They have forever changed the grooming game with their Perfect Package 3.0. Precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. The Perfect Package 3.0 kit comes with the essential lawnmower 3.0 waterproof, cordless body trimmer, and a ton of other liquid formulations to round out your manscaping routine. This third-generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to prevent manscaping accidents. Millions of balls are about to be nick-free thanks to Manscaped's advanced skin-safe technology. Inside the Perfect Package, you'll also find the Manscaped Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant, and moisturizer. It's starting to get hot outside, and this is crucial, so your ball stops sticking to your leg. I love Manscaped so much. And as our treat, you'll find the Crop Reviver, which will keep your balls smelling fresh, just like spring flowers. Subscribe to the Perfect Package and get a new replacement blade refill for your lawnmower trimmer delivered to your door every 3 months, making sure your trimmer always stays hygienic and clean. For a limited time, subscribers get 2 free gifts: the Shed Travel Bag, that's a $39 value add, and the patented high-performance anti-chafing Manscaped Boxer Briefs. This is the perfect package for your perfect package. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code GAMES20 at manscaped.com. Do yourself a favor and always use the right tools for the job. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code GAMES20. That's GAMES, the number 20, at manscaped.com. Again, that's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code GAMES20. It's spring cleaning, baby, and your balls will thank you. Out today, we got Taimumari, Pleat Edition for PS4, Gem Master for PC, Morhun Kart for PC and Mac, Phase Worm for PC and Mac, Rune 2, the Lazarus update 1.1 is now available. And of course, the new Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order update is now available that adds new combat challenges, battle grid, and more. And then some new dates for you. Next Generation Souls like Moonray comes to early access on July 2nd. And then Vader Immortal, a Star Wars VR series, is coming to PSVR this summer. Deal of the day.
Big Kev Dog, you play Vader Immortal, right?
I have not.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did episode one on Quest. I liked that a lot.
I'm also excited to try it because this is going to be my chance. Deal of the day for you. Nasi Rojas writes in and says, deal of the day, Patapon 2 Remastered is 50% off on the PS Store. So look forward to that. The PlayStation Store. Patapon 2 Remastered.
Do the right thing, people. For $7.49, you can do the right thing and get out there and support Patapon Remastered. Maybe you'll get your stupid Loco Rocos if you do that, all right?
Now it's time for reader mail. I'm looking at the reader mail. I'm trying to figure out which one I want to talk about, Greg.
Yeah, we've been yakking and jawing a lot today.
Yeah. Greg, do you want to talk about the Xbox showcase that's happening later this week, or do you want to talk about Lord of the Ring Golem?
Oh my God, Jesus. Let's do Xbox.
Jacob Bowen writes in and says, hey, Greg and Bless, longtime listener, first time writing in. With Xbox having their gameplay showcase Thursday, do you think there will be any surprise reveals and or release date reveal? Also, do you think we'll get much on Assassin's Creed Valhalla or just a simple trailer as Ubisoft will probably have their own event? Stay safe, wash your hands, and stay home, Jacob.
I definitely think you're going to get surprises. I think that, yeah, I mean, obviously not knowing too much about it, it kind of guarantees that, right? We know that Assassin's Creed Valhalla will be there. I think you're going to get a decent amount of Assassin's Creed there for sure. I definitely think that, you know, Ubisoft with a game as big as Assassin's Creed, Ubisoft generally not afraid to show it at multiple things. So I think you'll get your first taste of gameplay here. What that'll be, I don't know, because I don't even understand really the inside Xbox, how this is going to look, how they're going to frame the whole thing. Of course, we'll be live watching it with you, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames Thursday morning. But I think you get a healthy dose of Valhalla there before they do their own event and show more there. But I don't think it'll just be a trailer. I think this will be actually gameplay. But I'm not expecting, again, remember, this is all third-party stuff, so it's going to be, you know, your EAs, your Ubisoft, stuff like that, stuff that's coming to other. You see that Push Square headline they did the other day that was like, PlayStation 5 games release dates to be revealed at Xbox event. Like, it's going to be that kind of thing. So I don't want anybody getting their hopes too high, but I definitely think you're going to be surprised. Blessing, do you agree?
Yeah, I think there'll be surprises. Like, as far as the Assassin's Creed stuff, I'm pretty sure they said that you'll see gameplay. I expect probably like a 3-minute gameplay trailer, and then at the Ubisoft, at their E3 digital event, I assume that's where you'll get like the big trailer blowout. That's what I imagine. But yeah, as far as like what we'll see this Thursday at the Xbox event, yeah, I expect you'll see stuff that we've seen before, you know, like Assassin's Creed. You'll probably see Cyberpunk, I imagine.
Yeah.
And a few other things that we've probably seen before. But I imagine there'll be like at least a couple of like, oh snap, here are some new next gen titles that we weren't expecting.
Agreed.
Now it's time to squad up. Alex Price writes in and says, I'm a kind of funny best friend, and I'm looking for fellow kind of funny best friends to help me survive the hunt. I live in the UK, but can be found on at all sorts of times. Alex's PSN username is purechaos72. That's pure chaos with a capital P, capital E, capital C, and a capital S, 72. And he just says he wants KFBFs to help him survive the hunt, which, you know, can mean many things. I assume he's talking about Bloodborne, but he could also be talking about the Hunt Showdown. And so I don't know, but if you play out of those games,
like, people can figure it out.
People can figure it out what the Hunt is, but I assume that's Bloodborne. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, where you can tell us what we got wrong as we get it wrong. And let's see what you guys have for us today.
The Mailbox. The Hunt game we talked about before. You think it's...
It could be Hunt Showdown, but I feel like if you're just saying the Hunt, because like the Hunt is a thing in Bloodborne.
Okay.
But I feel like
you uppercase it? Like he's uppercasing it?
The Hunt is kind of like, I'm pretty sure you would think of it as like an event, right, in Bloodborne. Okay. Like, you know, it's called like the Hunt, and like there are the hunters that come out for the hunt. But it could also be Hunt Showdown. Or it could be some other game that we're not thinking of.
Well, here's what I want you to know is I'm over here and I'm on his PSN profile.
Okay. Oh, so you went deep.
I'm here to get the answers for you. You know what I mean? And he does not have the Hunt Showdown trophies in his top section of like most recent trophies. So, which would lead me to think he's probably playing Bloodborne and has been playing a long time. You know what I mean? Like, because you know how it ranks your trophies based on most recent trophy you got.
Yeah.
His most recent trophy is Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Robbie Rob writes in a Yurong and says the hunt could also be Predator Hunting Grounds.
He's clearly not cool enough for that. All right.
If you're, do you see that in his trophies anymore?
Are we going to go get some Yarnums? Are we going to go fight some people in Yarnum? That's what he's saying. Dork.
Nailball
doesn't have Bloodborne trophies either.
I mean, does he have Predator Showdown or Predator Hunting Grounds trophies?
I don't see that either.
Huh.
Let me see if I can refresh his profile. See if that gets me something good here. Because it's possible that nobody's like, you know, refreshed it for him. Keep going. I'm sorry. Do your thing. Do your show.
Nailball just says Boba Fett sounds like space fried shrimp restaurant. So there you go.
It does. It does sound like that.
Let's see here. Somebody wrote in some breaking news that we'll probably tackle tomorrow.
Fair.
Yeah, multiple people are talking about the Marty Stratton posted some things about, I guess, the Doom soundtrack stuff that we've talked about recently on PSLW. And so that'll be something that we'll likely talk about tomorrow.
There's more developments in that.
More developments in that, yeah.
Oh dear. You got some?
What's that?
My God, everybody. So I put it in, I made the mistake, everybody, I'm sorry, of just thinking that everybody's life is like mine, where people check my PSN profile all day long, so I never have to update it. I updated the profile here for our squad up, Pure Chaos S72, or Pure Chaos 72. And ladies and gentlemen, his most recent trophies are in Predator Hunting Grounds. He wants to hunt that fucking Predator. Get out there and help him, everybody.
Get out there, play some Predator Hunting Grounds with Pure Chaos 72.
We're doing a stream tomorrow, don't forget.
And yeah, I think that's it for your... Timmy Buddy wrote in and says, Ubisoft did confirm actual next-gen gameplay for the Xbox event this week. So there you go. Great. And yeah, that's it for your wrong. This week's hosts go like this. On Tuesday, it's me and Emron. On Wednesday, it's Greg and Gary Witta for Witta Wednesday. For Thursday, it's me and Tim. And then for Friday, it's me and Greg back at it again with the white vans. Of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, game daily.